For this reflection at the end of the year, I return to themes from a service earlier in April, Love Out Loud, and the theme for our annual campaign, Living Our Values Out Loud. I begin with the gospel according to Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, as known by so many of us. I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Mr. Rogers, known for his neighborhood, his universal welcome, his honesty and authenticity, offered a language and wisdom and love all the time. In simply living what mattered, Fred Rogers shook and opened hearts around the world for over a generation. I understand he shared this message at a commencement address. He said, "In fact, from the time you were very little, you've had people who smiled you into smiling, people who have talked you into talking, sung you into singing, and loved you into loving. From the time you were very little, you've had people who smiled you into smiling, people who talked you into talking, sung you into singing, and loved you into loving." At the heart of his message is how each of us is building upon what is within each of us. For those of us who speak of the language of God, this was a creation loved into being, not a fearful, vengeful, punishing deity, but rather we call forth a God of love, of companionship, and of compassion. For those of us who don't have a particular connection with the mystery that some people call God, I invite us into connecting with the great everything of all life, of all cosmos, in all its glory. The water in which we swim is emergent life in all its wonder, in all its chaos, and all its phenomenon. And for all of us, the heart of our work and our lives is mutuality and generosity. And this shows up in expression, in being spoken, in sung, in being modeled and lived. It is all coming from a place of love. We sing each other into singing. We love each other into loving. And we need to do this to face the world as a people and as a congregation. From the elder Christian renowned preacher, Walter Brueggemann, he talks about the task of religious community. And he says, "The prophetic tasks of the church are to tell the truth in a society that lives in illusion, grieve in a society that practices denial, and express hope in a society that lives in despair." I'll say again, the prophetic tasks of the church are to tell the truth in a society that lives in illusion, grieve in a society that practices denial, and express hope in a society that lives in despair. Every day, this religious community is an exercise in witness, in authenticity, in allowing ourselves to be fully human, including in our sorrow. We do not have to be okay because we are not okay. And to allow that full acknowledgement of our emotional and mental lives, and in the midst of that, gives us permission to connect with possibility in the midst of despair. At the beginning of this year, the board of this congregation considered the hopes and needs of the congregation, what we should work for this year, what would make us feel accomplished given the swirl of everything that is around us. And in the conversation, I asked that the three key words we were coming up with be a little poetic, something that could preach. Because very much we were thinking of the practical things of financial health and the budget and the cost of living, but that doesn't quite sing in the world. Part of getting to that poetry is to think about what is the feeling behind the words. What is the feeling behind the hope? What resonates in this moment and in the year to come? And we arrived at three words: community, conscience, and commitment. Without knowing about the wisdom of Walter Brueggemann, the board picked up on the need for authenticity, for connection, and for possibility with those words: commitment, community, and conscience. The congregation and the events of the world inspired us to lead and to respond in this year. In February, many of you joined the board and myself for a conversation with the Reverend Sharon Dittmar, our contact with our larger Unitarian Universalist Association. And we had a Friday conversation where Reverend Sharon led us through hopes and fears of the congregation, as well as a little history. Some of which we were already making happen, those hopes and coming into understanding of the congregation. Some of those highlights include a desire for strong support for our children and youth in religious education. People are here because it is a good program and a good community for our young people, and people want it to be even better and even have more children and youth. And a desire, part of the hope, was a desire for a true youth group. Another hope was to keep growing in how we welcome folks who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, plus. We also want to be better at welcoming folks who are Black and Indigenous and people of color. We want to challenge ourselves to do better. Protestant faiths very much struggle with diversity, with racial diversity in particular. And we can show up in our language, in our self-awareness, as true partners that can be trusted to help. This is part of our essential work. And we were just seeing some success with that in the last few weeks as we are creating a new group for trans and non-binary folks who are new to the Peoria area and want to make connections. Look for notices about our transforming community. It is an ever-growing circle of care. There's also a desire for more justice work, to have a real and tangible impact with our neighbors. And part of the joy we're finding at the end of the year is the success in revitalizing our social impact committee. I want to invite folks to look for future updates on the new list of Share the Plate recipients. Thank you to everybody who sent in suggestions. And one of the great hopes was also simply being known in the community. And I will say, how much better we have done with promotion and public visibility in the last several years, and how much more visible we are compared to past decades. Our egg hunt at Easter and our annual haunted forest are fantastic examples of public presence. And we can do better. Specifically, we want to reach out to folks who aren't particularly religious, who might be atheist or agnostic or have had a traumatic religious past. And this one is interesting because we've found that when some people come through our doors as visitors, some people don't find us religious enough. And some people, we are way too religious for them. And so we'll keep occupying this particular space in our community and keep reaching out to people of all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of philosophies as we go. And also, people expressed a real desire and need to want to get to know people who are different than them. We want to cultivate genuine diversity of all kinds amongst our relations. And we'll see where we can go with that as well. And I want to thank everybody who's done a great job at welcoming visitors, at inviting your friends, at inviting just acquaintances. I keep hearing stories about how people are saying, hey, I have found this church that is different than anything else. Why don't you come try it? And that is one of the best ways that we can serve one another and be more visible in our community. So thank you. We also have a hope that was expressed from our children in that conversation in two different times, simply a wish for kindness. They were simply wanting people to be more kind to one another. And I think that this came from our children is a reflection of our time when there's so much that is ugly and cruel. I think we can do better at creating a place that is supportive and caring and models the kind of kindness and compassion that we want to see that makes it easier for us to bring that out into our larger space. Now, some of the fears that were named in that conversation with Reverend Sharon include that we don't have enough youth, that we don't have enough teenagers, that we don't have enough young adults. And we have ways that we're developing those programs as well. And we may even get a little bit of funding to make that happen too. So come and let us know if you'd like to be part of that conversation. There are also concerns about our financial health. There are rising costs. We are still catching up from some of the transitions in ministry that led to some increases in compensation in the search for a new minister from several years ago. We've also had a generational shift, and COVID certainly had an impact as well. We are very much making progress both in our financial health and our membership development. All of this was in the mix of taking a hit from these transitions. And we recognize that our current economy and national concerns can make things that much harder from a financial perspective. Everyone's contributions have a greater impact as a result. This is one of the benefits, that when you make a donation of any kind, it has that much more of an impact because we are really making a difference and really bringing in so many different little bits of resources together. Every contribution helps us bring more ministry into our lives and into the world. One of the fears expressed, and there was a lot of conversation about sorrow and grief, an expression of how much people kind of miss one another, miss the way the church was several years ago, and struggle to figure out how to connect now. One of the greatest gifts we can offer each other is just sympathy and listening when we talk about loss, when we talk about what is missed. It's okay to miss people who were here before and who are no longer with us for every reason and any reason. I know a number of folks still miss Reverend Michael. He was such an important part of this congregation for 27 years. And it's okay to still miss such a beloved person. And there are members that we've also been losing due to death, and due to mental decline and life changes. And those are sources of sorrow as well. And there are folks who are no longer part of the congregation for all kinds of reasons. And again, one of the best gifts we can offer each other is simply compassion and listening and recognizing that things are different. And sometimes it can be hard to know how to be open to what is already here. And there are so many new people, which is both wonderful and can kind of bring out that difference in sharp relief. And if you ever want to talk about all that's happened, all that's going on, and all that was in the past, please know that I'm available and I would welcome a chance to visit. There's also been so much good, as I've already named a couple of things. One of the successes has been a readiness to develop leaders and the board, and also we've had an increase in volunteers. Reverend Sharon's conversation led the board into some reflection on the year, and I want to thank the board, especially President Edward Flint, for the work of this year. We are in the midst of a generational shift in leadership as well, and we are exploring the roles and responsibilities of the board and finding ways to plan ahead and lead the congregation into the future. We have even a working agenda for the year to come, rather than letting the year surprise us. This is a powerful place to enter into the year. I also want to take a moment to thank the staff, Melissa Anderson in the church office, Jesse Laughlin as Director of Lifespan Education, Regina Stanley as Membership Coordinator, Tim Harold is the volunteer member of our admin team. That's the body that handles the day-to-day management of the church. We have Cullen Baker, who staffs our tech every Sunday, and will do more with communication next year. We have Sherry Seckler, who is our pianist and organist, and Miles Hodge, who takes care of cleaning the building, and Elizabeth, who offers loving care for our children. I want to thank everyone who was able to say yes when asked to help in big jobs and small this year. We are expanding our programs, we are increasing the use of our building, and we are better equipped to be proactive instead of reactive, even when something surprises us. We have more capacity, even in the midst of so much sorrow and heartbreak in our larger world. So I look forward to learning and growing and welcoming people. Clearly, we need each other, and the world needs us. And looking into the year to come, we hope to meet up into those hopes for the year, more connection for all ages, to keep speaking the truth in love as we care for the congregation and show up in our larger world. We keep pushing ourselves to doing better around racial justice, around visibility, around being a deeper and more authentic people. I am inspired by this year's themes and what it invites us to do, living our values out loud. We get to do this with each other, sing ourselves into singing, grieve into grieving, and love into loving. We get to do this with each other, for our children and youth, for every generation to find a place and a people, for all the theologies that show up in our big tent, to be religious, but not too religious, to be faithful and faith forward. May it be so. Let us go forth into this year to come with gratitude and wonder. Amen.